This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All righty, welcome back. Our second guest today is Eric Wilson. And he blessed our program not too long ago, talking about, Obamacare. And now Eric is back to talk about Obamacare and whether there might be any major Obamacare reform in 2019. Eric is the head of Wilson Associates, a company that works with individuals and corporations on healthcare insurance. He says that changes still need to be made, or in the near future, there could be trouble. He has appeared on CNN and Fox News Channel for his expertise. Anyway, thank you for being on our program again.
Oh, glad to be back. Wasn't that long ago? You're right. It seems like it was yesterday, but
I know.
Honestly, it wasn't. But it was pretty cool. A lot's happened in that amount of time, though.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I think it was, I can't remember when it was, but yes, a lot has happened. And so what do you think? Are we going to see any reform?
We had the judge in Texas, you know,
right,
rule Obamacare unconstitutional. Now, to understand that ruling, you have to go back to, I think it was 2012, National Association of Independent Businesses versus Kathleen Sullivan in the Supreme Court case, where that was when Justice Roberts changed the wording of the Affordable Care Act, where instead of calling it a penalty for not buying insurance, he called it a tax, individual mandate,
right,
so to speak. You know, when he said the mandate is a tax, Congress has the right to tax, therefore that made it constitutional. Now that the individual mandate is gone, there is no tax. Therefore, the thought is by the judge in Texas is that, well, if it's not a tax, it can't be constitutional. So that's kind of where we are. Now, of course, it's going to be appealed in a Maryland courthouse. And of course, eventually, we'll probably get to the Supreme Court. There's a lot happening now.
A lot of really, really good people vote for a lot of really, really bad laws, or they endorse really, really bad laws, such as Obamacare, because it's appealing to their emotions, and they feel a sense of entitlement without understanding that just because Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act is in place does not mean that you're guaranteed good health care. It just means that you get to pay for, you pay a lot of insurance money, correct?
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, they need to distinguish the difference between health insurance and health care. They're two separate things. And unfortunately, every time they talk about health care, they're talking about health insurance. But health care is the care you get when you see a doctor, when you go to the hospital, that's what health care is. Health insurance is what helps you pay for it. Unfortunately, we've come to a world now with Obamacare where, Obamacare doesn't pay the doctors very well, a lot of the plans, so therefore a lot of doctors have stopped taking it. So you have expensive health insurance, but you can't get the health care from the provider you want to see because, you're out of the network, with these narrow networks. So, and until they realize that, until these politicians realize that, we need affordable health care. Yes, we do need affordable health care, but that's not affordable health insurance. Two separate things. When an MRI just here in our home state of Illinois, okay, you get an MRI for as low as about $375 to as high as $4,200.
Well,
same thing.
That's a big stretch.
So that's, that's where you understand, health care. An MRI is needed. Why is there such a big difference in price? It's the same thing.
Right.
And of course, when if an insurance company is paying $4,200 for an MRI, of course the cost of health insurance goes up. Therefore, the cost of your costs go up. So, if they simplify that to a normal price, Or if they, very simple fix is really, if you make something more consumer-driven, where if you have to pay for it, I mean, if the insurance company is not paying for an MRI, you know, you're going to shop for that MRI. You're going to go to the place where it's $375 or $600 versus $4,200.
Right. Do people realize this?
Well, I don't think so. Because we've always been in, you know, what I call a third-party system, the insurance company pays for it, you know, the actual cost of care has always been hidden from consumers. And, you know, and now it's starting to come to light more with Obamacare, because now people have higher deductibles, higher co-pays, a lot of things excluded, you know, from the policy. So it's starting to happen now. I had a client 3 weeks ago call me. He has a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois plan, and mm-hmm. they prescribed the medication. And on his plan, the medication for name brand drugs applies to the deductible. He went to Walgreens for this medication, and all it was a Prevacid, it was the generic of Lipitor, cholesterol medication.
Mm-hmm.
At Walgreens, it was going to cost him for a 90-day supply over $400.
Holy cow.
At Walmart, it was $60. So big difference in price for the same medication. So you have to understand, you know, the cost. And, you know, if they go back to making your health insurance more of a hospitalization plan to take care of the big things, and then you find ways to cover the smaller things, there's the fix. But we're not there yet.
Right. Oh, my goodness. There was a time when healthcare was so affordable. It was the patient went in and they paid the doctor. And of course, that was right after World War II. And then you had insurance, which was made a part of people's employment as a bonus, kind of a way of getting employees to work for you. And so then it just became kind of something that people just figured was part of your job.
Right. And that's kind of where, you know, now we're at a point where we need to go the other way, in my opinion, to get rid of the employer-sponsored health care, because, you know, it's really not your company's job to insure you. Your employer doesn't pay your homeowner's insurance, you know, so...
That's right, or your car insurance, or anything like that.
So, I mean, it was a nice perk for a long time. But obviously the Affordable Care Act mandates that the company have more than 50 employees, they provide health insurance, which, again, it could be a perk, but it should be a law. I mean, if I run a business, you shouldn't be telling me, well, I have 53 employees, you need to provide health insurance for everybody. That's just, you know, that's a tough way to go. But nonetheless, I mean, I'm not opposed to employer-sponsored health insurance. Don't mistake that, but it shouldn't be their job to insure you.
Right, because it could could make a company to get rid of some of their employees because they simply can't afford to pay that insurance, correct?
Right. Well, yeah, we've seen that a lot. You've seen a lot of companies that downsized, you know, the last few years. You've seen some where they could have grown, but they've stayed right around 48, 49 employees to keep that, you know, in check. So, yeah, absolutely. But you know, the other thing, too, you have to think about is if you have employer-sponsored health insurance, if you lose your job, you lose your health insurance. And that's when
right.
you really need it the most, because, you know, if you're out of work and you're sick, well, that's when you need health insurance the most. So
right.
I mean, that's where the gaps are, where if they could make health insurance almost like life insurance, you buy it when you're 26 years old and the price is locked in for 20 years, you know, or whatever, or 30, whatever you need, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do this to make it more affordable for everybody as long as you stay in the system.
Right. So what do you anticipate might be the changes that are coming up? Do you think there will be changes?
Well,
any reform?
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. You know, if I were those on the left side of the aisle, and in fact, you know, without being overly political here, if I were those on the left side of the aisle, I would say, you know what, this law is going to crumble, or could crumble if it gets back to the Supreme Court. We should get together and try and fix this thing, which
mm-hmm.
that would be the ideal scenario. Get the left side of the aisle, the right side, and now's the perfect time because you have the Democrats in charge of the House, you got the Republicans in charge of the Senate, so you'd have to be completely bipartisan type of plan. unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the left or right even want to talk to each other, you know, about anything. I mean, you know, we have
right.
people, we're talking about border security now. We can't get together on that. We can't get together on health care. You know, we had difficulty getting together even on, you know, I mean, you know, on so many other options that are out there. And they can't get together on anything. So in the ideal world, yes, let's get together. Let's bring in some smart people. Let's figure out what we need health insurance to really cover. You know, let's take the good things Obamacare did, get rid of the bad things, look at some other states that have had success in their own programs, and, you know, and talk to smart people. You know, I don't know if there are that many smart people in Washington. I mean, when it comes to things like this, because, you know,
they make it such a partisan issue that, they, as you said, they don't want to talk about anything and act like grown-ups and talk these things through for the benefit of the country, for the benefit of the citizens of the country. And then also, you have to, when you're talking about health care, you have to factor in Medicaid and Medicare,
sure.
which is also two programs that are very costly. And costly Medicaid, I believe, is paid for by local governments. Isn't that true?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Medicaid is mostly state-based. I mean, there's some federal money to it as well, but mostly by the state. And then Medicare is a federal program for the elderly. So.
And so the Medicaid program really prevents states from fixing infrastructure and other things because they're paying out so much money in Medicaid for a lot of people that probably shouldn't be getting Medicaid.
And that's one of the things that Obamacare did when they expanded Medicaid. You know, they increased the poverty level where you could get Medicaid. Where I mean, in my opinion, if you're an able-bodied working person, you know, you shouldn't qualify for Medicaid.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, we're all in a situation where, you know, you're down on your luck, you're out of work. There are times where you could be an able-bodied person and be out of work for a long time, and I think Medicaid's okay. But, you know, for those who have, you know, I mean, they made up to 400% of the poverty level to get a subsidy from Obamacare, and 138 still gets Medicaid. So, I mean, if people are making money and getting Medicaid, it just doesn't seem right. Now, again, those who are out of work or those who are disabled or down on your luck, we need to help those people. Medicaid is supposed to be to help those people, and I totally support that.
Right. And, of course, they used to have charity hospitals or hospitals that would help people who were down on their luck, but charity seems to have gone out the window or out the door. The other thing, too, is that children in the system, in foster care and other situations like that, are often given prescriptions, and they are on Medicaid, that perhaps they don't need. It just
sure.
seems like Medicaid is really breaking a lot of the state's budgets.
It really is. They need to revamp. You know, well, unfortunately, a lot of our entitlement programs need to be, you know, reformed, and just because of simple mathematics. I mean, I said, if it's costing the state too much, you have to fix it. You know, I look at, let's go back to, we're talking about health insurance, but Social Security, the debates of Social Security, that's really not a Republican issue or a Democrat issue. It's a math issue. People are living longer than they used to. When Social Security and Medicare, too, for that matter, came out, you know, you got those things at age 65, but most people were dead by age 67. You know, now people are living in their 90s and 100s. So I mean, they're just simple tweaks there that they can do. You see the stories are pushing, you know, Granny off the cliff and whatnot, but nobody really wants to push Granny off the cliff. They want to, you know, you have to change things to make it solvent. I mean, and it can be very simple. You could say anybody born after 1970 or 1970, whatever, 1975, pick a year. You know, those mm-hmm. people don't get the time until age 70 instead of age 65. You know, give them time to prepare for it. If you got to work an extra 5 years or 10 years, or you know, that's okay.
So, mm-hmm. but that was supposed to be a temporary thing anyway. which didn't turn out to be very temporary. But private insurance, according to some figures, private insurance, 32.1% of the people have private insurance. 41% are on Medicaid, which 41%, that's really big. And 27% are on Medicare. That is incredible.
The Medicaid number is very ungodly high there. I would think that number should be somewhere around 10%, or
right.
less.
Right.
Or 5%.
Right.
Because, I mean, just knowing the population base and whatnot. And heck, right now we have good employment. So, I mean, it should just be for those who are disabled and, there's definitely some reform we need to make on the Medicaid system. The Medicare system's okay. You just need to, change that to the point where, maybe you got to be a little older to collect it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then there's also the problem of, it's probably not something, it is relevant. When you have a lot of people in the country who are collecting these Medicaid benefits who aren't even citizens, now that probably isn't something that you want to, is that something that you want to address?
Well, sure. I mean, that's the problem. You're talking about, de Blasio in New York, wanting to give health insurance to everybody,
What's
in regards to
the citizenship
of Indian California. So, I mean, you have those things, and that drains resources from, the states only have so many resources out there, whether it be for health care or any other bills, for that matter. And if we start giving entitlements to those who aren't even citizens, then you get in bankrupt even further, and taxes have to go higher for everybody else. And so, but I think, that's a big issue, is the people who, getting coverage or who are not citizens.
And when I heard about that, I thought, what in heaven's name is he thinking?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable that he would do this to his state. It's pretty bad.
It's something you just can't even fathom, and that's one of the ones I just can't even fathom. I mean, but they're but again, these people, these politicians, they come with these ideas, but they never did the math.
Right.
You got to take a paper and pencil to do the math. I mean, the state of Vermont, a couple years ago, proposed, a universal health care system. And when they realized how much the taxes had to be to do it, how much it was going to cost to do it, it never got off the ground. I mean, that's Bernie Sanders' home state, who's a big advocate of it. And they couldn't even, they couldn't even get it off the ground once they started doing the math. It was like, we got to increase this by 10%, payroll by 11%. It was going to be almost a 50% to pay everybody, almost double everybody's taxes to even make it even, and still would have got there.
Wow. And of course, when they announce these things, it all sounds very nice that we let people have this care and that we're going to do something for these poor people. But they're appealing to the emotions and not to common sense, because, as you say, it's going to cost so much that pretty soon the infrastructure is going to fall apart. You're not going to be able to pay for roads. You're not going to be able to pay for your bridges and taxes. And
right.
People who live in Illinois understand the tax structure. And it's a state where a lot of people are vacating. They'd rather go to Indiana or someplace else.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the high taxes in this state, it's gotten really, really controlling. That's why people. I mean, there was a congressman from Illinois not too long ago who said he couldn't take it anymore and just moved to Texas. former congressman. I mean, former congressman. I can't remember who it was now, but I've never seen an article. So.
Yeah, that's pretty funny when politicians have to leave the state.
Yes.
All righty, we're going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Our second guest today is Eric Wilson, and his question, will we see major Obamacare reform in 2019? I think it was, as you've indicated, it was illegal, I believe, to begin with, and so it should certainly be reformed. Because to force somebody to buy something is just not right. It's
right.
Exactly.
Right, and that was the original challenge when they said, "Well, United States of America, you can't make anybody buy anything they don't want to buy." And that's when the mandate they said it was a tax. So I think now that the tax is gone, it should be deemed. Then you don't know what these guys are thinking. I mean, obviously the five justices who voted it was constitutional the first time are still on the bench.
Whoops.
So, at least at present. So, who knows how these guys think or what they're thinking, but when it gets back to the Supreme Court. But either way, there's got to be some changes because the way it is now is not sustainable.
Right, and I do think that the judge in Texas who said that it was illegal, I think he probably is, well, I know he's right, but I think that a lot of other judges should stand up and say, yes, I agree with this. Why don't we see more people, more politicians, more judges going against these illegal things that the Supreme Court does?
Well, sadly, I think, unfortunately, we have you know, judges have sadly become partisan. They're supposed to follow the Constitution, and it's like everything that you see, they end up in the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco. Everything that the left wants overturned, they send there. You know, Republicans are saying things in Texas where they have more conservative judges. You know,
right.
It's not. So, you think it'd be as simple as follow the law, interpret the law, but unfortunately, it's not. There's the Constitution, and you're trying to follow it, and then there's your opinion, which. On the legal side of things, your opinion doesn't really matter. Your interpretation matters to an extent, but your opinion mm-hmm. does not. And it's just like Justice Roberts illegally rewriting the law, saying it's a tax not a penalty. If you remember when the Jonathan Gruber guy saying we can't call it a tax because it'll never pass, but we got to call it a penalty, and then we'll rely on the stupidity of the American voter. Was what he said. But mm-hmm. If it was a tax, they called it a tax, and never would have passed in the first place. So that's when mm-hmm. he illegally rewrites the law. So that's at the highest level. A guy, kind of interpreting the law in a very fuzzy way.
Right. Which is, I think it's terrible. Now, Hillary Clinton, and we talked about her before, attempted to create a national health care program, but failed. And, right. Then Obama comes in, and the Affordable Care Act requires all U.S. citizens and legal residents to have qualifying health coverage. And it says exemptions will be granted to individuals for financial hardship, religious objections, or if you're an American Indian, those without coverage for less than 3 months, undocumented immigrants, incarcerated individuals. So there are some ways to get out of this, but it's pretty solid for just the regular people. And I know that I have read that some people even get married just so they have health insurance. That's kind of crazy.
It is, right. Very true. Now, of course, all those rules there, the whole qualifying health plan thing, which was basically an Obamacare plan, now... So prior to this year, if you bought what was called a short-term plan, which sometimes short-term plans are actually better coverage than an ACA plan, depending upon how you view it, you still would have got fined or penalized or taxed because that was not considered a qualifying health plan. Now, with the Tax and Jobs Act that passed earlier in 2018, the penalty is gone. Now, short-term plans in many states are a viable option for people because there's no tax. Now, we live in Illinois, so in Illinois, they passed a law to make it, only 6 months at a time on a short-term plan. Governor Rauter vetoed that, which was great, and then they overrode his veto, and now there's a Democratic governor in states. So people of Illinois get hurt. People in, Iowa, they're only doing 3 months, so. That hurts. And in Indiana, which surprisingly is only 6 months on their plans, and it's bizarre how they have some of these, how these states are interpreting these things, trying to, people who don't know how insurance works are referring to certain plans as junk plans. And, a short-term plan is not a junk plan. And even if it was a junk plan, why are you telling me what kind of insurance I have to buy?
Right.
Which is a big part.
And there are certain insurance companies that seem to get all of the business. So you have to ask yourself, well, did they make some sort of a deal with the government? And how is it that Blue Cross Blue Shield or some other company takes all the business in a particular state? How did that?
Well, part of that was when Obamacare passed, a lot of the companies couldn't follow their rules, and most of the companies have just pulled out of Obamacare. And, of course, if you pull out Obamacare, you pull out of the insurance market, the individual market.
Oh.
In Illinois, on the market, we have Blue Cross, we have Aetna, Better, and Cigna, and that's it.
Wow. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we have Eric Wilson. Which came first, high medical costs or health insurance?
Well, I think it's been a gradual, the gradual high medical costs in this country have been staggering, you know, slowly for the last decade. You know, really the prescription side of things has really gotten out of control. And of course, you know, the technology in our country is better. So, I mean, you know, we have better MRIs, but we have better things, so I understand why stuff costs more, but, you know, it just, you know, the really, the high cost of medication is just nuts. And, of course,
absolutely.
The cost of, you know, insurance is a derivative of the cost of health care. If the health care costs more, then the insurance are going to cost more.
Right. And people buy insurance, well, first of all, because it's a law. But it's also out of fear. What happens if they get a catastrophic illness? And so it's based on fear. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole idea of insurance is to protect your assets. I mean, that's what, you know, asset protection. You don't want to, you know, a cancer could cost $250,000, and I don't think most people have $250,000 sitting in their bank account. A head injury, a head surgery could cost $100,000 or more, you know, and people don't have that. So I think in my world, I wish they would go back to selling just a straight catastrophic plan, you know, and you pick the amount you're responsible with, whether you can afford, you know, a $10,000 deductible or a $5,000 deductible or a $1,000 deductible or a $20,000 deductible. Whatever you can afford, whatever you have saved is, you know, what you do. And it can be as simple as, you know, I got a $2,000 deductible this year. I save $1,000. Next year, I want to go to a $3,000 deductible. Jump it up every, you know, as you save more money, as you earn more money, you save more money. You can raise your deductible and then bring your you know, your premium down. That would just be a logical.
That would make more sense. Sure.
Yeah. That way you can kind of almost self-insure for the little things and the big things you have. And just, you know, I mean, insurance is really a game. I mean, you beat insurance or insurance beats you, right? I mean, you don't want to be underinsured by all means, but you don't need to be overinsured either.
And, right.
You know, and right now with Obamacare, we're overinsured on the preventative care because other things that don't cost very much. That we're covering at what they call free preventative care, but it's built into your premium. But we're underinsured on the high end things with families having sometimes $15,000, you know, maximums and deductibles. So, you know, we're in a backwards plan right now.
Right, and the other thing too, you mentioned the high cost of prescription drugs, and the fact that a lot of the drugs were created using public money, and then they're privatized by drug companies, which isn't right. And so you have the drug companies really being able to set the price on these prescription drugs that some people feel they need. Isn't that true?
Yeah, very true. I mean, and there's a lot of research and development with all kinds of money and fundraising, public money and private money, and that affects things for sure. But I always wonder when you get medications from Canada or other places, you know, for a third of the price in the States that are made in the States, that just doesn't seem right either. That's where the unit system is broken, where you can take a medication that's built that's made at Abbott Labs in the United States, shipped up to Canada, and you can buy it in Canada for a third of the price. Why is that?
Yes, why is that?
Part of it is, you know, we're paying for the research and development, you know, in this country, but, you know, they got to ship it over there and then they ship it back down, and it's still cheaper because, you know, it's not, you know, the in this country, the pharmaceutical countries have a lot of lobby power.
Right. Oh, yes, they do. In fact, they spend more on they spend more money paying politicians than any other industry, and I believe that they represent 18% of the gross.
Yes.
18% of the yeah. Yes, that's pretty awful.
Yes, it is. So, you know, and that's when you look at healthcare and health insurance and all that stuff, you have to look at, you know, and that's one of the problems with Obamacare. They didn't really look at the total picture. I mean, if you want to look at healthcare, you have to look at the total cost of everything. You know, like I said earlier, why is an MRI $4,200 when it could be $350 or $600 or whatever? Why does one doctor charge $300 and another doctor charges $100? Maybe the doctor is better. Maybe he can, you know, but you know, is there a reasonable fee that should be charged? And doctors have to make a fair living. I mean, doctors have to have, you know, the malpractice insurance is high because everybody sues everybody in America. So I mean, that's another derivative of cost. So I mean, if you want to fix health insurance, you have to fix health care. But you have to look at, you know, it's not the insurance company's evil or they're just trying to make profits. You have to understand the entire system. It's like when you're building a house, you know. You need to understand how the foundation goes, and the walls, and the ceiling, and the roof. You know, you can't build. You can't say, well, these houses are bad. The roofs are bad. You know, maybe the roof is bad because something else is bad, or the foundation. You know, you have to understand the entire package to fix it. And unfortunately, we don't. You know, the people who are making the laws in this country don't want to really understand how the whole thing works. So they want to pick and choose. You know, things they know.
Maybe they don't really want to understand because it's benefiting them, because if they make the laws and then they implement actions They make the laws, then they make personal investments, and then they create the activity or laws that would benefit them financially.
Very, very possible. Well, you know, here's the other thing. This would solve that problem. Make them live by the same walls that they passed. You know, if Congress had Obamacare, those people had to have Obamacare. They would have repealed that thing 5 years ago. But they don't have that. I mean, when John McCain, rest his soul, he wasn't using the VA, he wasn't using Obamacare. They had the best coverage money could buy, because of
right. And he didn't have to pay for it.
Better. Right. Your congressional plan is, their health plans are far better than ours. So,
right.
So explain that. I mean, make them have our plan. Make them pay, $1,000 a month for insurance with a $15,000 out-of-pocket maximum, and you can't find your doctor, they'll accept it. I think they change in a hurry.
Yes, but it's too convenient for them. It's like Nancy Pelosi said. She said, we've got to pass this so that we can read it, or whatever the heck she said.
That was one of the stupidest comments I've ever heard in the history of politics.
Yes, and she's pretty good at doing that. And these are the people that are making the laws and benefiting and flying around in private jets and whatnot. And it just seems that it's very lopsided when they are not taking the same health care that we are.
I would agree. Yes, I would totally agree.
So how do we fix this?
I think the only way to fix it is to, and again, Congress has, unfortunately, people making the laws, they can make the laws any way they want. If the law was, the law of the land is the law of the land for everybody, not just members, Congress can't exempt themselves from these laws. That'd be the first thing. If I were writing a health care law, that would be built in the law. Everyone, Congress runs by the same law. And that does two things. One, they can actually see firsthand how it works.
Right.
When Hillary Clinton was running for president, she was in Ohio at a stop in Ohio, and somebody was complaining about their cost of insurance, and she was like, "Well, you should go back to the marketplace and reshop it." Well, the problem was.
Oh well.
The problem was the lady had gone to the marketplace and reshopped it. A lot of the companies had pulled out of the state. There was only a couple of companies in those counties, and the price was still high. It wasn't a matter about going to the marketplace; it was the system's broke. But she doesn't know that, because she doesn't live by the same rules. So,
right.
I mean, it just goes back to, you have to, she can't even explain the question because she doesn't know. She just thinks she knows. And that's the problem. Sometimes these politicians have blinders on. Like you said, they don't want to know.
Right. As somebody famously said, "I'll have what she's having." Well, they are living an elite life. When they don't have to, they pass a law for everybody else. That seems very unjust. And I don't think that the average person looks at them that way. They just think, oh, this politician is saying these really nice things about helping people with their health care. And isn't that wonderful that they're going to let these people, that we're going to take care of these people who are poor? No. It isn't that way at all. It's
right.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right, and unfortunately, nobody really understands the math. I mean, I go back to the math thing.
Right.
You understand what it was called? They're proposing, they want to do Medicare for all, and Medicare for all already said it's going to cost 30. They've already talked about it's going to cost $34 trillion. Now, no one wants to talk about how do you get the $34 trillion to pay for. I think if you doubled everyone's taxes in this country, I still don't think you get $34 trillion. So,
of course not.
So how do you pay for it? And that goes back to, that should be really everybody in your household, if you want to buy, a new TV, how do you pay for it? I have it in savings, or I need to work an extra job, or I pick up an extra shift here, I can pay for it. Or, if we don't go out to dinner three times, in the next this year, well, we have to pay for it. There's decisions you have to make for everything. How do you pay for it? And unfortunately, they just They don't think about where do we find the assets to pay for these things that we want, and that's an enormous problem.
Especially with the national debt being the way it is, how do they expect to do this? Bring more debt on the American people?
More debt. Yeah, they don't really care about debt too much. They always want to go back to let's tax the rich people. I mean, at some point, you can only tax them so much. I mean, I remember back when Ronald Reagan was making movies, the top tax bracket at that point was 90%. So he would only make one movie a year, because if he made a second movie, that would put him in the 90% tax bracket. So, mm-hmm. I mean, people are smart. I mean, people understand that. If I have to keep my income under a certain level, then I'm going to keep the level under a certain level. And you keep talking about that, and you have to understand that people, the very wealthy people are very wealthy because they're very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of smart things. So, I mean, you just have to figure out how to pay for everything, and they don't want to address the cost.
Wow. Well, they've got a really good thing going, and certainly people can go to Washington and say, oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to change things, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And as soon as they get there, they find out that you have to go along to get along. And so they don't do anything. They just join in with what everybody else is doing.
Right. They have to understand they work for us.
Right.
Work for us.
Now, there are groups of doctors now who are charging like $100 a month for all your care, whatever you need, and they have a group of patients, and they make sufficient money for their needs. And tell us how that works. You're familiar with that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very much. Yes, very much. That is what's called direct primary care. Direct primary care physicians. There's several ways they do that, but for the most part, it's a subscription based thing. Whether it be $100 a month or $75, what part of the country you're in, $125, $100. And with that, you get to go to the doctor. See your doctor whenever you want. They've also negotiated deals on prescription drugs. They actually have drugs. Well, many prescription drugs in their office they can prescribe and get right there, for a nominal fee. That's becoming very popular. And there's a lot of groups that actually there's a surgical center in Oklahoma City, Dr. Smith, in Oklahoma City Surgical Center, who does surgeries that way. And there's places all throughout the country now have them, and that's really. That's the wave of the future. I mean, that's how we can fix healthcare. Is I don't think the politicians are going to do it, so maybe the doctors will do it. But what that does is it puts you back in control of your healthcare. The doctor doesn't have to worry about how do I bill the insurance for this?
Right.
I don't know how to code this. I actually had that recently with a dentist, but this concept remains. I was trying to book dentist appointments, and I don't carry regular traditional dental insurance, and I just usually pay cash when I go, and I was trying to book my appointment for myself and then my kids at the same day, and they said, well, if we book it for your kids are, I'm trying to do a summertime winter off of school. They're like, well, we have to go this day. I said, well, no, I'm a cash payment, so I can go wherever I want. Oh, well, in that case, we can put you in, you could be 5 months, and they'll be just under 6 months, and they'll be perfect. Making it work there. So that's the same thing where when you have insurance, they can only treat you for certain things and bill certain things, and then they're outside their scope. But on a cash payment, they can do what they want. That's where direct primary care is going to be the wave of the future, I believe.
Oh, I think it sounds wonderful. And then, as you say, they don't have to do the ICD code and worry about insurance. They don't have to. Probably they're not digitizing their patients' records. They're just totally out of the system. And I think you probably get more personalized care from a doctor using this method.
For
because they're not obligated to follow a code, because sometimes you have something wrong with you that isn't in the code. And
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was lucky. I'm actually a member of the Free Market Medical Association, the Illinois chapter. There's a federal, mm-hmm. there's a national chapter, too. But I went to a conference back in probably October, September, somewhere in that range. And one of the doctors there was a spinal doctor in Peoria, Illinois. And he was showing us, you know, a spinal at the hospital. Spinal cord surgery was like $470,000.
Oh, my gosh.
After the insurance discount, it was like $260,000, you know, $260,000, something like that. But the actual cost you could do the surgery for was like $70,000.
Wow. Okay, we're going to take a real quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Wilson, and we were talking about this wonderful new system that really does sound great. And I think that's, as you said, that probably is the wave of the future.
I do believe so. I mean, unfortunately, the politicians aren't going to fix it. It's going to be the free market's going to fix it. And the free market can really, you know, we as a country with health insurance and health care, we've let, you know, government try to do it and try to intercede, but we've really never given the free market a fair shot. And, you know, let the free market fix it, and then we haven't.
Right. And we did used to have a free market, and then it disappeared.
Right.
And we're just going back to what we had before, correct?
Right, absolutely right. And the free market, you know, the subscription kind of business there for the doctors will work. They can spend more time with their patients. They have no restrictions. And you know, and if we went back to just a cut back to what we talk about, you know, buying a catastrophic health plan, which right now are not legal under the ACA. But if you go back to buying a catastrophic health insurance, you could have enough money. You know, if you could buy a catastrophic health plan for, you know, $200. And you could buy a subscription to a doctor for $100. What more do you need? $300 is a fair price. You know, you can have a $5,000 or $10,000 deductible for your hospitalization. You got your primary care from your doctor directly through there. Problem solved.
Sounds wonderful. And you were talking about that spinal surgery and the difference in the price just before we went to the break, and. The variance in prices is just amazing.
Right. Well, you know, they overcharge. You know, this, our healthcare system, when you use an insurance, have these goofy PPO network discounts, which is silly. Because you know, if you and I are both shopping at Walmart, we're paying the same price for the product. Why should one person, you know? So, but under the current system, you know, you have a spinal cord surgery, they're on bill for $470,000, but it's Blue Cross is going to get 30% off, and United Healthcare is going to get 29% off, and I don't know, Philadelphia American might get 40% off. You know, there's these goofy little discount things that are out there, and what they really need to do is just, what's it cost? Forget the
right.
PPO discount. What does it cost? And if you simplify this, you know, it makes it very easy. You know, if you and I both go to the hospital or a doctor, doesn't matter. You know, if I have insurance, the insurance pays for it. If I don't, I pay for it. But the price should be the same. It doesn't matter who's paying. You know, it shouldn't be. You get one price and I get another price, and this company gets another price. Then we're going to discount. No, just what's the cost? You know, when I get my car service, it's posted. You know, oil change $29.95, tire rotation $10, whatever. You know, I mean, it's all posted, so you know. Why is healthcare different? Why is healthcare a secret?
Right, and the other thing, too, is that when you go and have your car fixed, they fix it, and if they don't fix it correctly, then you take it back. And you don't get that kind of guarantee with doctors.
Right. Unfortunately, if you don't get fixed, if you're in the hospital, they don't fix it right, you might die. So, I mean, there's, you know, that's just part of life. It's not the doctor's fault, but you don't have the freedom to choose any doctor you want. So you can try the best care, you know, if you need the best care.
Right. Well, thank you so very much, Eric, for being on the program.
Loved it. Anytime.
Okay. Thanks. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye
thank you.
Now. All righty. Talk with you next week. And have a great week. I got to go see if anybody plowed my driveway. Hopefully. Okay, bye-bye. Take care.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.